Our sermon text for this fourth Sunday in Advent and this program Sunday is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll read verses 19 through 28 in Jesus' holy name. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, your word is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. And we thank you also for the truth that the children of the congregation are proclaiming today as they read your word and reenact the birth of Christ for us. God, I pray that you would bless each and every one of them and keep them steadfast in the faith. God, by your word today, show us our sin and need for a Savior and point us once again to Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, born to die that we might have life eternal in him. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, here in the Gospel of John, we hear the account of another John, of John the Baptist. In this account, the Jewish leaders, specifically the Pharisees, sent a delegation to John to figure out who he was. Now, they weren't trying to figure out who John was by birth. They knew that John was the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. They weren't trying to figure that out. Instead, they wanted to know what he was doing, preaching like he was out in the wilderness, why he was carrying on and baptizing people. They wanted to know what kind of authority John was claiming for himself. Now, John was aware that they weren't just asking who his parents were or what town he grew up in when that delegation got there. And so he started by answering them and ruling out the thing that they wanted to know the most. John said in no uncertain terms, "I am not the Messiah. I am not the Christ. I am not the one that was promised to crush the head of the serpent. I was not the one that was promised to be a blessing to the entire world that was given to Abraham. I am not the one who is a descendant of King David who would reign on the throne forever." That's not John. He said that up front and right away. Now, since John denied that he was the Messiah, this delegation from the Pharisees, they kept questioning him. Next, they wanted to know if John was perhaps the prophet Elijah. And we get this from Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, where God declares, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." So that's the prophecy they were thinking about. That's why they expected Elijah to come. But to this question, John also replies, no. He says, "I'm not Elijah." And this makes a slight problem for us because in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says the complete opposite. He said, if you're willing to accept it, John is Elijah who is to come. So Jesus says that John is Elijah, and John says that he's not Elijah, which sounds like we might have a contradiction here, but we don't, because both of them are correct. John was right because he was the son of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah. He was not a reincarnated version of an Old Testament saint. Instead, he was a uniquely created human being knit together in his mother's womb by God himself. John physically was not Elijah, and John also wasn't a newly formed body with Elijah's spirit in it. John was a distinct and different human being. But Jesus was also correct, because even though John wasn't a reincarnation of Elijah, that Old Testament prophet, John was sent by God in the same spirit that God had sent out Elijah, and with the same anointing. John, in effect, was the second Elijah. He had the same boldness as the prophet, the same confidence as the prophet, and he was sent as that forerunner to the Messiah. Now, after John denies being Elijah, the crowd wants to know if he's perhaps the prophet. You might notice that the crowd didn't ask, "Are you a prophet?" Instead, they said, "Are you the prophet?" They had a very specific prophet in mind that they were looking for. This comes from another prophecy in Deuteronomy 18:15, where Moses records, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers, and it is him you shall listen to." Is John the prophet who would be like Moses? John again says, "No, that's not me. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. I'm not any of these people that you're looking for." Now, the Pharisees really wanted to be sure. They needed to know who John was. So that delegation pushed ahead to try and figure out what authority John had to be doing what he was doing. And John finally responded to them by quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, which was our sermon text for last Sunday. He said that he is the one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." What John answers is that he's the guy the prophet Isaiah said would come and get things ready for somebody more important, for the Messiah. But this delegation didn't really understand what John meant by this. And you can tell, because after this, they say, "If you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, you're not the prophet, then why are you doing what you're doing?" Well, John had already made clear where his authority was from and who he was. But since they didn't understand, he continues and goes further. John says, in essence, there's a biblical prophecy about me. I've been sent to call people to repent of their sins and to have them be baptized for forgiveness. But there's one coming after me who is greater. Someone you don't know, someone much greater than me, so much so that I am not even worthy to untie his sandals. And the next day in John's gospel, and just in the next verses, if you were to continue reading on, we see this one who is greater. When John sees him, he calls out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." The authority that John had to call people to repentance and faith, and the authority he had to offer a baptism for forgiveness, was the same authority that the Old Testament prophets had. That authority came from the call of God to speak God's truth and point people to the Messiah. John was there to get things ready for Jesus by calling people again to repent and believe. And in this season of Advent, as we draw near to the time when we remember the birth of Christ as that babe of Bethlehem, we have to remember why Jesus needed to take on flesh and be born. You see, Jesus wasn't born for no purpose or reason. Instead, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, put on flesh and lived amongst mankind because we human beings are fallen and sinful. Scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, while we were still dead in our trespasses and sins, that Christ came to do what we could not. Our sins condemn us before God. They separate us from God, and they make the only just judgment for us to be eternal hell and separation from God. There's nothing we could do to make our sin go away or to earn forgiveness for ourselves. But God knew this, and in his great love for us, he sent his only begotten Son to live the perfect and sinless life that none of us have lived or could live. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price that our sins had earned for us. Jesus, that babe of Bethlehem, was born to die and born to bear your sin and mine, so that by grace and through faith we might be forgiven, we might be redeemed, and we might have our relationship with God restored. And so that we might have the promise of eternal life with him. So in this Advent season, we once again need to hear the message of John the Baptist. Because once again, it's time to examine our lives. To confess our sins, to repent of them and turn from them, and to turn again to Christ in faith. Trusting that because of his perfect and sinless life and because of his sacrificial death, we can be forgiven and made new in him. So Merry Christmas, everyone. And focus on Christ this Christmas season. Because without the babe of Bethlehem, there is no salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your Son. And we thank you for the gospel message that all who believe in you will be saved. Allow us to trust that and look forward to the return of Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.